Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
I'm going to examine something that, by and large, is fairly forgotten. We're going to look at a word. We're going to study its meaning, the relationships that it entails. And then we'll see why this word and the meaning of it has been forgotten. And hopefully, if we're diligent enough, if we're tired enough of being the kind of people who are who find themselves punished, even by their own best intentions, then perhaps we can make some inroads, some real changes in the way we look at ourselves and this life that we're in and the purposes that we've given to it. But to look at this word, which I haven't given you yet, and to fully examine it, we have to look at another word. And this is a word that's is verboten. How many of you know what verboten is? Three of you? For the rest of you that aren't German. Forbidden. Socially not approved of. Inappropriate to discuss amongst people. To be kept at the furthest extreme, the edge of one's consciousness at all costs. And what word would that be that we must examine before we get to the word that is the basis of our talk? The word is death. It's so important to understand the word, but it's more important to understand its meaning. And I want you to take a couple deep breaths. In fact, you ought to just keep breathing nice and deep the whole time I'm talking. Because unseen by us is how everything about our present nature is dedicated to what it calls living. And what it calls living is really just a ceaseless stream of sensations. Sensations that it provides for itself with an unlimited, seemingly, case basket of conditions that one can throw themselves into in order to find something that stimulates one, or look back over one's past and regret what one didn't do or what didn't happen and find stimulation and sensation in that. But I want to draw your mind to one idea. You know, it's rare when one's mind can be drawn to one idea. Because our minds are not given to that. We haven't yet developed the true capacity to take an idea and see it right to the very beginning of itself. But we're going to do that with this idea and then with what it's going to lead us to. And here's what I want to bring to your attention. First of all, when we die, and we are going to die. When we die, at the moment of our death, there is going to be just ourselves and death itself. That's all that's going to be there. Ourselves and death itself. Now, you may think to yourself, no, I love Jesus, or, you know, God is with me, or, you know, the light, I love the light. That, what you're saying isn't so, and I tell you it is so. I tell you it is so. I tell you that at the moment of a person's passing, there is the person that is dying, and there is the death the person is having. Take a deep breath. This isn't anything to be afraid of. You're going to see how beautiful this is. Now, what is this death that I will be there with? That's the question. Because you see, what you will be there with, and only with, is the meaning that you have of death. That's what will be with you. You'll be lying there, God willing, that we, you know, it would be nice if we all knew that it was just a beautiful little, you know, I'm checking out, moving into a new hotel, and all the rest of the nonsense that the world tells you to placate the fear that pushes you through your life, the fear of loss, the fear of emptiness, all of the things connected with the idea of the end of things. It'd be nice if it was just, you know, sweet like that and you could write it off. And you can find all kinds of ways in which, and we do, we're masters at it. You can buy books. You can hear people lecture you, fill you with all kinds of fantastic sentiments and sensations about what it means to die. But the fact will be, when we are there, and we will be there, there will be ourselves and what's happening to us. That's what will be there. Sure, it would be nice to have people that love you there, God willing that you have earned that right. Not people who are there just out of a pseudo sense of duty. God willing, it'll be something in which, in that moment, it won't be something No, I can't even say that. Back to the point. I must make this point. Here I am and I'm passing. There is me and death. And what is death to me is what I understand as the meaning of death. Now, the reason that that's so important to understand, first of all, can you see it? For instance, if death to one is terror, what will one pass with? If death to one is abject emptiness and the end of all things, what will one pass with? Terror. If death to one at the moment of passing is, oh God, what did I do with my life? What? Look at what I did with my life. What is that death? What is the meaning of that death? Do you understand? What is the person attached to? What is the person identified with, clinging to at that moment? Now I'll say it with the word that this talk is about. What is that person committed to in the moment in which he or she ceases to exist? What is that person committed to? To what is their mind drawn? What is their mind filled with? And this is something that is so important that I can't possibly stress it strongly enough, and I'm not going to get too fired up right at the top here, because it's a firecracker of enough subject in itself, isn't it? Just to sit and think, you know, I never really thought about it, but when I die, I mean, I may have 400,000 people around me, going, oh no, and boy, I hope for your sake nobody's around you doing that. They do that because of the fear they live with. But if I'm going to know in that moment what the meaning of death is, so that for me the meaning isn't something to be afraid of, the meaning for me isn't something to worry about, the meaning of it, I have to know what. How will I ever know what the meaning? Look, this is, do you understand? It's a pretty big moment in a person's life. It is. How silly it would be to think that death would be meaningless. There's nothing that's meaningless. There's nothing that's meaningless. Everything has meaning. but you live with the meaning that you have. And the meaning that you have is the direct expression, the direct fruit of what you have been committed to your whole life. And one thing only. And I'm saying, if I look at this and I can see it, then in the moment where one is passing, how nice it would be if there wasn't fear. How nice it would be if there wasn't abject despair over what one didn't do or didn't become. How nice it would be not to have hatred. Because I tell you this, you are always moving towards what you embrace. Always. There is never a moment in which you are not moving toward what you embrace. Period. So to understand this, we have to understand, if we're going to understand the meaning, how can I understand the meaning of death? How can I understand that? I see it, an absolute necessity for it. How can I understand that? There's only one way. I have to understand the meaning of life. If I don't understand the meaning of life, I'm never going to understand the meaning of death. And if I don't understand the meaning of death, then when I pass, I'm going to be clinging to the false meaning that I have given to every moment of my life.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire Magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
Take a deep breath. What is the meaning of life? Yeah, it's a big question, isn't it? Do you know how many men and women, in smallest ways, see a child, he looks out, the child's not thinking what's the meaning of life when they ask, why is the sky blue? You know, mom, why did dad yell at you? Child's not thinking that they're asking the meaning of life, but life's meaning at the moment that they see it has disturbed something in them. It's moved something in them. It brings up a question. And for us, at a certain point, and much to the subject of the talk, every single time that you and I have given ourselves over to something, committed ourselves, and name something that you've committed yourself to. You know, I committed myself to a career path because when I was envisioning it, I saw, oh, so many possibilities of coming out on top. I committed myself to that group of people because they were friendly and I believed that they were like myself. I committed myself to that man. I committed myself to that woman. I committed myself to my children. I committed myself to my art. Think of all the things in life that one has committed themselves to. And I want to put this in because I'll get to it later. And really, the fact is, in these days, not much. Not much at all. But because we have to look at it through the a willingness to say, oh, trying to figure out, I want to know the meaning of life. Where am I to find the meaning of life? And what impetus is there for this? You know, people think, oh, well, you're crazy. It's too much to try to think of. I'm telling you that every moment of our existence, life itself is saying, do you want to know the meaning of me? Do you want to know the meaning of me? And you know how come it's saying, do you want to know the meaning of me? Because every moment of our lives, by and large, is filled with some form or other of a dissatisfaction, of a strange unsettledness inside of ourselves, a disturbance that doesn't go away despite what we do to make it better for ourselves. And all of that disturbance, all of that continual movement inside of ourselves is gently hinting. Actually, it's going, hey, you! But it's gently hinting, look, you know, you thought the meaning of life was to have a lot of money. You thought the meaning of life was to live in a house like nobody else has. You thought the meaning of life was to drive that special car. You thought the meaning of life was to be with that babe or that hunk. You fill in the blank for yourself, and you'll see that the meaning of life that you told yourself everything was about, no sooner do you get your life and hands around it than the thing starts to mock you. It shows itself as being incapable of being the meaning of life, because the meaning of life can't be the same as that which leaves me feeling like something's missing. Can it? How could the meaning of life lead me to a life of resentment? Does that make sense to anybody? And yet, if you look at what your mind spends its time being occupied with, what you are committed to, including that chain of thoughts and feelings that drags you down all the time, you will see that what you have as the meaning of life is something, now, next subject, that has come along without your awareness and taken you along. Taken you. You have been committed to something, by something that is not for you. So this question of this meaning that we're discussing, where is one to find it if, and I hope you follow this, you know, I thought the meaning of life was to be a great this or that. Now, by the way, I better touch on this. You know, you can't become great at anything without commitment to it. It's impossible. There's no excellence without commitment. None. It doesn't exist. I don't care what you are, what you're trying to think about, do. Unless there is commitment to it, there can't be excellence in it. They're synonymous. But the subject is the meaning of life. And here I've committed, I give myself to this, I give myself to that. And each one of these things, and this is an important idea. According to our level of understanding, isn't that right? I thought being a committed this or a committed that would make me feel like I was content. But it didn't. So the question becomes at that moment when a person has committed themselves to something, and I want to say this now. See, I think that this life in itself is a journey of commitment. That there is a continual process by which one is shown through life that what they have either committed themselves to, and I must get this idea, and please listen. Do you know that when you don't commit yourself to anything, you're committed. People today walk around, I'm not committed to anything. I'm one of the XYZ double dumb journey generations. What's the new generation today? The X generation? Timmy, you're old already. The Y generation? Yeah, good question. Why are they even here? And they don't know. And that's the whole point. You see, I belong to a culture, no matter what age I am. speaker's 56, 50, whatever he is, and someone's here, there's 20, there's 22. And here's these generations, and each one has been identified with what they have said the meaning of life is. And at a certain point, all the Y generation is, or the newest generation, will be simply a reflection of the opposite of the generation that preceded it. Not that there's intelligence in it, but you did this and you did that, and I'm not going to do anything. You know, commitment, schmittment. And I'm saying that when a person begins to understand that life itself is commitment. I was thinking, what would happen if the sun said this morning, "Forget you. I'm not rising. I'm just gonna sit here today." Of course, it's not the sun that rises, is it? So the earth says, "I'm tired of turning." Well, what am I getting for it? I mean, I've been turning for millions of years. And today especially, none of the creatures on the planet even say thank you. There's no gratitude in anybody's heart. Tree says, "You know, I've been bearing fruit for the last 22 years. And I'm really just not getting anything out of it. So, forget the fruiting of the tree." We don't see the commitment. Everything exists because of commitment. Nothing exists that exists without it. But I stress again, a person can be without commitment in this life, as most human beings are, and they have been committed by their refusal to understand the meaning of their life. And now to the point, you can't find the meaning of life apart from the meaning in life. You can't do it. You want to know what the meaning of life is? You have to be the meaning itself. I'm going to say it again. You want to know the meaning of life? If it has any insignificance to you at all, for whatever reason, you must be the meaning itself. Because if you know the meaning of it, you're apart from it. And if you're apart from it, whatever meaning you've given to it is what you have been conditioned or otherwise filled yourself with sentiment about. It is possible for the individual, in fact, not possible, it is the only way in which the promise of a man or a woman is filled so that his or her part of the commitment of life is answered, is to become the meaning of life itself. Because it is in the meaning of life itself that the sun rises, that the sun sets, that the earth turns, that the fruit comes off of the tree, that the vine gives up the branch and the branch goes through the process. All of that is one thing, and it is all part of a meaning without understanding that, we remain outside of it. God, aren't you tired of looking at your life and saying to yourself, "What for?" Because you ask it whether you hear it or not every day. Because every time you're negative, you're saying, "What for?" Every time you feel a resentment or a worry, every time a greed passes through you, though you don't see it, "What for?" Every time you rush, "What for?" And I'm saying that as long as a person continues to ask, "What for?" what they are committed to is keeping them apart from understanding directly what the meaning of life is. See, we're so locked in our in the faculty. We're born in a way in which it makes it very difficult relative to the gravity of our culture and the gravity of our conditioning. It makes it very difficult for a person to go through this process in which they start to understand that all their life, all they've done is given themselves what the meaning of life is. And then one day they realize, you know, I never gave myself that meaning. I never gave myself that meaning. That meaning was born out of me resisting what my mother's meaning of life was. And that meaning was born out of seeing somebody in a really nice car. That meaning was born out of not having, this is one of my favorite examples. You know, when you were young, of course it's everything turns, doesn't it? When I was young, your pants were supposed to touch the top of your shoe. And if your pants didn't touch the top of the shoe, you were either poor or unsophisticated or worse, a nerd. And so lots of people grow up, from my generation, spending everything they have so that they can dress so that people will think that there's something special. Nowadays, it's so you dress as stupid as you can, so that nothing hangs anywhere except to the floor, and that's what's acceptable. And do you think people choose that?
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Now, the subject's commitment. Let's get on to it. Take a breath. The word commitment means, in essence, to give in trust, to pledge to do something, to commit oneself, to give in trust, to entrust. A shorter way of saying it, to commit, commitment is to give oneself to something. Commitment, to give oneself to something. Now, think about all the things that we've done. Because we've all given ourselves to things, haven't we? Given ourselves to the idea of a career, we've given ourselves the idea of a family, given ourselves the idea of a love, given ourselves the idea of a farm, a white picket fence, a meal. I mean, look at it just as best you can. Say, you know, I've committed myself to certain things in this life. And then ask yourself, when you do that, what kind of commitment have I given? Because I think that it's necessary to see that it is the depth of this commitment to something that ultimately produces the fruit or not of the relationship that you've committed yourself to. Do you understand that idea? For instance, take a person who commits themselves to an art. You know, an artist commits herself to the thing that she loves, the thing that he loves. When that person commits himself to that, what is the commitment about? Isn't the commitment to something the wish not just to explore it, but the wish to actually understand that which one is committing oneself to. Isn't that it? Can you think that deeply? Can you look and see? Here, I have a vision of a picture I want to paint. I heard a melody in my head. I want to express it. I had an insight about something. I want to write it down. And in that moment, that moment of art, that moment of beauty, there's that nondescript quality, that intelligence that doesn't have form, that color that's without shape yet. And a person, I'm going to commit myself to this relationship. Because there's something in that which I have seen, that which I have heard, that I want to be closer to. I want to know it more deeply. And that's a very natural part of a human being. In fact, what would a human being be who did not want to know more deeply the truth of something? So he gives himself to that art. She gives herself to that music, whatever it may be. Now, this is deep, but I want you to understand it. That person's commitment is not apart from that which he saw that wishes to live in the person that's committed to it. Lost you. Take a breath. You're so self-centered. Man sees a beautiful sunset. And when he sees the sunset, he doesn't just see the forms. The life of it touches him. The meaning of it moves through him. He wants to bring that meaning into something that is meaningful directly to him and those that he wishes to share that with. So he commits himself to expressing it. The expression that he commits himself to is the expressed life itself wanting expression through him. The art that he would capture lives. Its life becomes his life through his commitment to it. Without the commitment to the life, there can be no life other than what the individual tells himself is life. And what we tell ourselves is life is not life. Because life can't be told. It can only be lived. Which is why I said that unless we understand the meaning of life by becoming it, we can never understand what it means in our life at all to be true, to be fulfilled, to do anything better than be what we are now. And let's get to that. It's important. You want to know the measure of a person, and let me explain something to you. Take a deep breath. Take your right hand. Imagine you're holding a large eraser like the teacher did in school. Take your right hand and move it up and down the blackboard. Okay, why are we doing that? Because we're erasing the past, which you don't know you can do yet, but you can. I don't care what kind of crummy human being you've been, and all of us are in the category of crumb bums. That's right. Unable to commit to anything other than what pleases us. Or what frightens us. And that's another subject altogether. One is committed to what frightens them by the fact that they try to find ways to get away from it. Now, so I'm saying this to you because it's incredibly important to see. Human beings that are shallow, shallow, shallow. Why? Because their ability to commit themselves to anything is only relative to what they believe they'll take from it. And if a person can't see any reason to take something from somewhere because they see that there's no point in it, because they look at the parents, they look at life around them, and they see nothing but stumbling, drunken, lost, angry human beings, which this planet is populated with, then they say, what's the point of committing myself to anything? I'm just going to get by. I'm going to do the least that I know to do to try to get the most. And if I'm really clever like that, I'll become one of the Fortune 500 company presidents that steals from everybody. Because that's what exactly what makes people like that, by the way. They're never committed to anything except their own satisfaction. And I'm saying that here we're looking at a subject of commitment and realizing, you know, I am unable to commit myself. Really commit myself to something, because if you examine what you have committed yourself to, and I wish I could dial Guy down. Let me try something. I'd give anything to dial him back. You don't know it. He's dialed back about 50 points right now. Because I understand when I talk like this that somebody's sorry, because you're trying to listen maybe, but you say, why is his talk so loud? See, commitment is synonymous with loyalty. Commitment has steadfastness in it. Commitment, real commitment has, and I love these three words, has come what may in it. Come what may. And that's why you can't find any human beings who are committed to becoming new, to being fearless, to be reborn. You can't find them. You find people who are committed to belonging to groups in which they are given images through which they provide themselves with a temporary meaning that satisfies them. But the minute that come what may appears in the equation, off they run, because they were never interested in the truth of becoming someone new. What they were interested in is the feeling of being someone new, as long as it didn't cost them a thing. That's what human beings are. That's what we are, according to our nature, until we start to understand that what it means to be committed to something, to give oneself to something, means that it doesn't matter whether the sun is shining or not. It doesn't matter whether I had a bad morning or not. It doesn't matter whether you approve or not. It doesn't matter whether there's 5,000 people or two. Because at the point that a person starts to understand that without him, and I must say this again, to understand the meaning of life, we must become life. There must be no difference between the moment that we are committed to and what that moment is giving us to understand about ourselves in that moment. There cannot be that difference. And this is where everybody cuts bait and runs, because the moment that a person finds themselves in life, and at the moment that life is actually bringing up things in them, I don't want to do this, I hate this, I don't like them, I don't want anything to do with it, it costs too much. At that moment, rather than seeing the actual meaning of life as it is, which is that within them is something that is a total fair-weather friend, someone incapable of being anything other than a self-serving slave to his own desires, that in the moment where he could see that and have real meaning, he runs from it. And he runs towards what? He runs towards finding a meaning that won't cost him anything. He runs towards a shallow satisfaction of himself. And look at how beautiful this is, if you can see it. Here's a person. And look, let's think of commitments for a second before I get to that. You know, we all understand the necessity of certain commitments. I have a family. I have a job. So I made a little list, and I go through it just to dial it back a little. These are social commitments I'm going to talk about. Cultural. How many of you know? There's cultural commitments, aren't there? Cultural commitments. There's family commitments. There's religious commitment. These are shallow commitments. Why are they shallow commitments? Because I'm only as willing to be committed to culture, family, tradition, as I am willing to suffer for what that costs me. And the moment that it starts to cost me something more than what I'm taking from that commitment to my family, my culture, or my religious or traditional ideas, at that moment, then the resentment grows, and I become someone who, rather than being fulfilled through commitment as one is intended to be, I actually become a slave of my commitment.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org.
Hating where I am and what I have to do. And why do I hate it? Because I have to stay there in order to sustain the sense of myself that I have. That's the only way I can do it. I got to be part of that group. I hate that group. I got to go to church. I mean, every once in a while it's nice. You fill in the blank for yourself and you'll see that what you have is a series of things to which you're committed, including, by the way, I want to be approved by people. And so I'm committed to whatever I have to do in order to win that approval from people. Walk around and sell my soul, give my body away, do whatever I have to do so that in my commitment to seeing that I remain someone sustained by the society that I'm in, I sell my soul to accomplish it. Yes or no? Am I just a big wind up here? It's true what I'm saying. And this is why I had you take out the eraser. Because okay, I have the commitment depth of a mosquito. Meaning what? Meaning that my commitment is all based upon a momentary impulse, a desire that passes through me. And the fact is that I'm trying to get across is that the more that I see that this commitment I have to these things isn't commitment to real life. It's commitment to a condition that I've brought with me through my own past that believes without me fulfilling myself according to the ideas of who I'm supposed to be, I haven't fulfilled anything in life. So, we've talking about two kinds of commitment so far. Now we're going to talk about a third kind. We're going to talk about what it means to commit ourselves to life. To commit ourselves to truth. And I would use the expression commit ourselves to God, to the divine. But the minute that I bring in that word, instantaneously a person's conditioned nature appears, starts deriving the sense of self that comes from imagining such things, and then we're committed once again to ourselves and not life. Do you understand the difference between being committed to an image of something and extracting our sense of self from that image versus actually being in life? Whose life is this? I mean, what if your heart said, Not today. Do you understand? There's a commitment in us. And I want to add this, that we have ourselves been committed to something. We have been committed to something. And I think that the great majority of our pain and unhappiness, I think the fear that's rampant, I think the things that are destroying the planet because of the unmitigated greed of human beings who have decided that the meaning of life is that they should look at whatever it is they see around themselves and only see themselves in it. What selfishness that is, as opposed to the idea of one being committed to truth. Committed to truth. Now, what does it mean, committed to truth? It means that I begin, as best I understand it, to realize that my life has been committed for me by something that is committed to the continuity of itself, regardless of its cost, to me. That should be evident to all of us. The fact that we react the way we do to anything unwanted, the fact that our lives are predicated on the idea of continually coming up with new ways to please ourselves, that all of those things that we're committed to, that we act upon without questioning, betray us. They bring us momentary satisfactions, they bring us pleasures of a sort. But listen to this. See, this is what's so nice. But I'm committed to the truth. Not as an idea. Not as some man on a cross. Not as some fat fellow sitting there in the lotus position. Not as anything at all. Not as any idea at all. But committed to the truth. Committed to life. Which means that I am endlessly ridding myself of everything that comes between myself and what I see. That the meaning of life, it can't be separated from what it is that's actually happening right now while I'm talking to you. It can't be separate. If it's separate from it, then all of my actions will be predicated upon what I have extracted from it. And the only reason a person extracts something from life is because they're not in it. How many of you jump in the ocean and try to extract a cup of water? You don't walk out into a beautiful day of fresh air and try to bottle it. Why? I'm in it. There's no difference between myself and that. Therefore, there's no reason for me to try to take something from it. And when we examine ourselves, what we are is beings that are committed to taking, not giving. See, to give myself, commitment, we said at the time, to give myself, I commit myself to truth. I commit myself to it. That means what? I'm going to give myself to that which I know simply by the most elementary form of logic, something that is greater than myself. And if it's hard to understand, you will if you persist. And that which is greater than myself, I have obligation to. I must serve it. I must serve it. How ludicrous that I think life is here to serve me. How absolutely ludicrous that is. But if you look at the root of the way in which you see things, everything about our lives is that everything and everyone in it is supposed to serve us. And I'm committed to accomplishing the powers that I need in order to achieve that. But then you look at life and you start to see, you know, I can understand that that artist is given life as he gives it. I can understand that. I may not be an artist myself, but I can see that I was given life as I gave myself to that sunset that I saw. I can see that. And that everything that I give myself to that way gives me back more than I give to it. All it asks of me is my commitment to it. And in one respect, it's not even my commitment, because it's the love that I have of the thing that I commit myself to, only to find out what? That the love I have was given to me by the thing I committed myself to. The love I have was given to me by the thing I committed myself to. Where else would the love come from? It doesn't come from me. I'm committed to taking as much as I can and giving as little as I must. So the whole idea of commitment is one that it really, it's like you walk over and you say, okay, you know, here, let's look at this now. You take this home with you and you examine what we've talked about. Don't you dare, under any circumstances, please, you know, come up with yet another thing that you are committed to. But can I see that if I want... No. This is to the point. If I see now that I no longer want to know the meaning of things, but that I need to be in the meaning itself... Because if I'm outside of the meaning of things, all I can do is ascribe new meaning and go through that same ludicrous cycle again. Can I and will I be willing to give myself to life? Commit myself to its exploration? Even though to do so is going to cost me what I've called my life. Well, isn't it? My life right now is primarily my what joys I have, but mostly resistance to what I have been committed to. Yes or no? That's what my life is. I got this and that. And I got my duty, and I hate what I have to do, and all the rest of the things that are connected to it. And there's every once in a while, it's a great day, yada, yada, yada. But by and large, it's pretty darn clear that keeps me going. And then the question that is inserted, towards what? See, that's the question that one has. Towards what? Towards another day where maybe it'll be sunny, but maybe it won't, and then I'll hate the day again and then try to come up with something new to commit myself to that I'll be able to feel satisfied with, but it's still not going to answer the moment. And I said this. I said that one can't know the meaning of death, which one must, without knowing the meaning of life. And that to know the meaning of life requires being steadfast in one's commitment to it. Loyal to the understanding that without the need inside of ourselves to participate in it directly, without that need, we'll just be carried away by another want. Little by little by little, and if any of this has reached home, I want you to understand that you are going to have to be the one who understands from yourself what commitment means. You have to understand it, because until it begins to dawn in you that commitment is an act on your part of something, it's an act. It is an act that you make. It is a will that you partake in. Till that's clear to you, your life will belong to what has committed you to this this darkness. Choose to commit yourself to life.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit GuyFinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.